Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Coming back to the question of our basic problem, is our basic problem then, is it a lack of self-esteem?
The lack of self-esteem is a lack of faith in myself. When I don't have faith in myself, who made me? The devil didn't make me. God made me. And I am born unfulfilled because I'm born without faith. And if you don't have faith in yourself, you're not going to dream beautiful dreams and build buildings and relationships. You'll go out in Las Vegas and hope you'll win it.
An excerpt from a conversation I had with Robert Schuller several years back. Of course, the news out of the West Coast, Robert Schuller's decision to remove his son from the hour of power, at least from the pulpit of the Crystal Cathedral, as broadly seen worldwide on that television program. We're going to be talking here for the next half hour of the program, first with Sam Canones, staff writer for the Los Angeles Times, about Robert Schuller's ouster of his son. And then Shane Rosenthal will join us just a little bit later. He's producer of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn, and we'll talk about the theology of Robert Schuller. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-6943. MyIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. In about a half hour, we'll review a Reformation Day sermon preached by Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Sam Canones is a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times. He's author of a story in yesterday's LA Times titled Robert H. Schuller Ousts His Son as Hour of Power Preacher. Sam, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
We can't speculate beyond the press release and the explanations offered by the staff of the Hour of Power, but what do you make of the explanation coming from the Crystal Cathedral?
Well, I guess I take them at their word. You know, the strange thing really was this was a church that was so media savvy, and the first day's statement was very vague and strange and kind of bureaucratic, considering that what was being discussed was a man removing his son from this very high position. So the first day's story, which was on Sunday after a Saturday announcement, we were kind of confused. I think a lot of people were. In fact, readers emailed us, members of the church emailed us, wondering what was going on. Then they explained more clearly that they felt that the Hour of Power was ought to be shared, a shared pulpit in a sense, where they ought to bring people in and broaden the appeal. And to this point, I have no evidence that that's not what was going on, so I take them at their word.
Okay, so am I correct here that the younger Schuller will no longer be the face of the television program, but he will remain on staff in some sense at the Crystal Cathedral?
Yeah, he'll be senior pastor at the church. Yes, correct. And whether or not he preaches at the church is another decision yet to be made, is my understanding. That no one's quite clear if he's going to continue there, because, you know, there's some serious relationship strain between the dad and the son, you can imagine, after this, because it was only 3 years ago, you know, that in a very tearful kind of emotional ceremony, the elder Schuller handed over both the TV program and the church to the control of, or as a senior, made his son senior pastor of both. And it was, we reported on it, everybody reported on it. It was a big deal. And then 3 years later, it's kind of a reversal, you know. So,
how did you find out about the story, Sam?
An anonymous tip. A guy called up from some place in Orange County, I believe it was, and said, hey, do you know this is going on? And, of course, Pastor Shuler is a pretty well-known fellow in Southern California, and we had done a lot on obviously also the issue the or the topic of mega churches is also something we've written a fair amount about, and so it took us a good part of the day to figure out what was going on, and as I say, then they sent an announcement that had been read in the church on Saturday that said, you know, lack of shared vision, separation with my son, this kind of thing. And I was, and it made me feel like he was dancing around the issue. It was really, really kind of vague. We're in the newsroom going, what on earth do we make of this? It's a man talking about removing his son, and it sounded rather, I don't know, bureaucratic in a sense, and also not very clear. Mainly it was just unclear. It left room for all kinds of supposition. You didn't know if drugs were involved, I mean, any kind of sexual misbehavior. I mean, it was just really unclear from the first day. Then I think we got it kind of cleared up. But honestly, the first day we're all wondering, and I think a lot of readers were as well, what to make of it.
Have you been able to interview either the elder or the younger Shuler on this story?
The younger Shuler, not at all. A colleague of mine, Mike Anton, interviewed the senior Shuler on Sunday after he personally made an announcement to the church. This was the second day after the news had already broken. And he talked about, you know, this being a mission and not a church, and the idea was to broaden its appeal. But even then, he didn't really say what I eventually found out to be kind of the official reason, which I got from another person at the church, a member of a church and a member of the Reformed Church of America down in Orange County. And he said really it had to do with the fact that the hour of power, they felt could be a much more powerful program, that it could be a forum for a variety of voices, not just two men's voices, as it's been for pretty much the entire 39 years of its existence, and that it could be a place where you could hear all kinds of voices from Latin America and from around the United States, as well as including, they said, businessmen, you know, not necessarily anybody professing Christian faith, but people who had understood how to make things work in the world of business, for example. That might also be the case, you know. So that was the explanation, I would say, in far more concrete terms that we got late Sunday, which probably would have cleared up a lot of questions had they simply stated that on Saturday in a more clear way, I would say. So the problem really was simply that it just left a lot of questions unanswered the first day, and even his quick interview with my colleague Mike Anton, which is only about 5 minutes long, he really just didn't come out and say as clearly as the other pastor from the Reformed Church of America did to me later on in the day, and so it was only then that we finally said, oh, okay, we're getting this now. I guess we understand.
Have you had any reaction from the members of the parishioners of the Crystal Cathedral?
On occasion, several folks have written in. Some folks said they preferred the younger Shuler's approach, which is more grounded in the gospel. Apparently, I haven't heard either man preach for a long time. I used to listen from time to time to Robert Shuler on TV on occasion, but I haven't heard the younger ones preach at all. But I mean, it was basically, some people were upset, some people were not, some people said, whatever the church wants to do is fine with me. I mean, there's a variety of responses, obviously. And some folks were also quite skeptical and believing that what this is really about is declining ratings. You know, there's a lot of televangelists now who are younger. In Orange County, you have Rick Warren. He's not a televangelist, but certainly he's got an enormous church. You've got a lot of competition, and maybe the younger Shuler was not bringing in either the money or the younger audience the way folks in the church thought they should. This was the opinion, I want to clarify, of some of the readers who wrote to us.
What kind of comments are you getting, finally, on the LA Times website to the story?
It was those are the kinds of comments we're getting. It's a variety, obviously. You always, I think on this kind of story, you probably always get a variety of things. Some people are saying, no problem. We love Robert Shuler, senior. Others saying, I prefer the younger. Others saying, this is just a money grab, or you know, there's a very skeptical view, obviously, of some folks about televangelism and so on, and televangelism in particular. And also, there were some who believe that Robert Shuler's emphasis on what you might call positive thinking and psychology, as opposed to more of a concentration on the Bible and that sort of thing, left some people, you know, a little cold, and other people actually were dead set behind him. So, I mean, really, I would say that there's a wide variety of responses, as would be the case on a general interest website like the LA Times.
Sam Canona is staff writer for the Los Angeles Times, author of the story in yesterday's LA Times titled "Robert H. Shuler Ousts His Son as Hour of Power Preacher." Sam, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll be talking with Shane Rosenthal, producer of the national radio program The White Horse Inn and board member of Providence Christian Academy, a classical school here in St. Louis. We're going to be talking about Robert Shuler, the history behind some of this, and how it is that this vision thing seems to have set a new direction for what was once, and I think perhaps still can in retrospect be viewed, as one of the more influential megachurches in the United States. It certainly had its time during the 80s, and Robert Shuler, by some people's account, Robert Shuler's influence on American Christianity, the megachurch movement, pop American Christianity, evangelicalism, is a lot stronger than many people think. When we come back, Shane Rosenthal will be our guest. You can join us as well. We're coming to you live this Monday, October the 27th. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio. We get your questions and comments in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Shane Rosenthal is next. Then we'll review a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Don Matzett in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly, issuesetc.org.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion declared a mortal sin.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Catholic Church made its strongest statement yet on abortion when it recently doubled the number of sins deemed to be mortal. This was a monumental step considering that the original list of seven mortal sins had previously gone unaltered for 1,500 years. According to the Vatican, any person who commits one or more of these sins and dies without confessing and doing penance for it will immediately be banished to hell. By identifying abortion as one of those mortal sins, the Catholic Church has sent a clear message to its members that abortion may have eternal consequences.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
the word sin in our culture and in this age that we're living in carries an enormous amount of shame with it. And if I say to a person, you're a sinner, I'm just heaping boatloads of shame upon you. Why can't I talk about sin without using that word? The word will turn them off. They'll run away.
It's Robert Shuler from an interview we did with him several years ago on Issues Etc. We're talking about Robert Shuler's decision to remove his son, Robert Shuler II, as he's affectionately known at the Crystal Cathedral, from the Hour of Power program. They say he's going to continue as senior pastor, but he's also not necessarily going to be the face of the Hour of Power. Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We're going to talk with him about the theology of Robert Shuler and about the general ministry and influence of the Crystal Cathedral and the Hour of Power. Shane is producer of the national radio program The White Horse Inn, and he's a board member of Providence Christian Academy, a classical school here in St. Louis. Shane, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Always a pleasure to be with you, and happy Reformation Week.
Oh, thanks. Same back to you. You've spent a lot of time out there in Southern California and observed Shuler's influence as a producer of White Horse Inn. You've also, I think, had him in studio now at least once. What's your general reaction? You got any speculation as to what was going on behind closed doors that led to this?
Yeah, not really. I do have one funny anecdote. I was in lived in Anaheim with Michael Horton and a whole bunch of guys when we started Cure and White Horse Inn and Modern Reformation many, many years ago. And we had Alistair McGrath in town, and we actually, I was telling Dr. McGrath that he's an Oxford theologian, and I said, you know, just down the road, we have a stone's throw away the Crystal Cathedral. And he said, oh, really? Do you have any stones?
Well,
but in terms of what's going on here, my guess is that it's the Hour of Power struggles. That's my best guess. It's just that Dr. Shuler is a very, you know, he preaches self-esteem and he practices what he preaches. When I had the chance to meet him, he came across to me personally as just a very self-absorbed man. And my guess, and I've also I was friends for a while with his former chauffeur. He told me that he's a very, you know, he likes things his way, and so that's what's going on. It's probably, but that's just a guess, that it's probably a power struggle. He didn't like things the way they were headed.
Now, the plan is to replace the younger Shuler's face as the kind of the pulpit face for the Hour of Power with a variety of preachers in the press release. Bill Hybels, Kirby John Caldwell, Walt Kallestad, Juan Carlos Oritz, all of these kind of bright lights worldwide in evangelicalism. What's going to change here as far as you're concerned?
Well, bright lights in terms of the number of people in the pews, not necessarily for known for their success and fidelity to the gospel of, that characterized evangelicalism in the past. That's the key thing, I think, with Dr. Shuler. One of the things he kept saying to us before we went on the broadcast, the White Horse Inn broadcast, with which is now a sort of a cult classic if you can find a copy. But one of the things he kept saying to us was that, and he would speak of himself in the third person, Dr. Shuler is the number one religious personality in all of Russia. So I think that's the bottom line for Dr. Shuler. It could be a ratings issue. It could be that he just doesn't perceive that things are going in the right direction. And so what's going to happen now, I don't really know what that would look like, but I'm guessing he's just tapping into those ministries that obviously have signs of success in terms of numerical success.
Let's talk about Shuler not only as the founder of the Crystal Cathedral, in some sense, kind of founder of the megachurch movement, at least the way it's cropped up. How would you characterize Shuler's influence on pop American evangelicalism?
Yeah, there's certainly, a lot that he to pioneer the movement. When he came into the Orange County area, Garden Grove, it was first a polling process where he went out to the various neighborhoods and asked if you were to go back to church, what kind of church would you like? And started his, if he actually had a drive-in theater, converted it to a church. It was a drive-in church for a while. And people like Bill Hybels were influenced by that. His message goes back further. If you actually look at the difference between, say, someone of the 40s, Norman Vincent Peale, his message is very similar to that of Dr. Schuller's. Of course, Peale appealed to a more liberal audience. And you go back a little further even, you see someone who's very modernist and liberal, and that's like Harry Emerson Fosdick. So you see this sort of trajectory, you know, those opposed to classical Christianity and more a therapeutic approach to religion. And that is, I think, Robert Schuller is the until he retired, was the leading torchbearer of that movement.
What is fundamentally unbiblical about Robert Schuller's message, Shane?
Well, as he says in his some of his books, he says the real problem is that deep down we feel we're not good enough to approach a holy God. So it's a matter of our feelings. It's what Philip Reif called the triumph of the therapeutic, that it's not about the reality of our being at odds with God, but it's how we feel. And so sin is a denial of self-esteem and putting yourself down. And so he's redefined classical theological terms with modern psychotherapy, pop psychology. All those terms, all those ideas have basically gutted classical Christian theology.
I got to wonder, this is my own private speculation, that with the rise of the phenomenal, unprecedented success of ministries like Joel Osteen in Houston, Texas, that makes all these other megachurches look like small potatoes, I'm wondering whether or not kind of the old school positive thinking of Robert Schuller can even compete.
Yeah, I mean, what Joel Osteen's church, he gets something like 40-something thousand to his congregation, to his church every in Houston, Texas every week. And his TV audience, certainly it's the it's probably the number one televangelistic message on TV each week. So yeah, he is certainly, Schuller has similar emphases, but is not, I would say, the cutting edge. Joel Osteen may represent the cutting edge of a new generation of those kinds of thinkers.
You know what I found refreshing in my conversation with Schuller, as brief as it was? This was a guy who was honest. He would tell you flat out, I don't use the word sin because it turns people off. I'm not going to do this because that's going to make people feel bad about themselves. And he was completely honest in his heresy, so to speak. I don't find that honesty in those who've fallen under his influence and who are trying to ply the trade of marketing the gospel nowadays. Your thoughts with about a minute.
I totally agree. I think that at least he knows what he's denying. Someone like Joel Osteen has difficulties affirming what he's denying. He just simply he's the pastor with a smile. When we had Dr. Schuller on our show, Mike Horton, the host, asked him about the text in Timothy where people are lovers of themselves in the last days, but why should we create a gospel that encourages people to do that? And his response was, I hope you don't preach this. You could do a lot of damage to a lot of beautiful people. And then he concluded by saying, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should preach it. We, on the other hand, we are committed to the whole counsel of God, and there are a lot of things in the Bible that are not happy, they don't make you happy, that are not popular, but we are convinced that we preach what is true, not necessarily what makes people feel good.
Well, in that vein, what are you guys going to be discussing this week on the White Horse Inn?
This coming week, we're talking about election coverage, but not the national election, the coverage of election that we don't typically get in the in our churches, the doctrine of election, that is.
So both your Calvinist perspective and hopefully Rosenblatt tossing in the other Reformation perspective on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. At one point, Dr. Rosenblatt says, you guys are with us on monergism. God alone gets the credit for saving sinners. And at one point he says, heavenly days, I'm helping to build Reformed churches.
very interesting. Although, Shane, I like to think of it as you're with us rather than we're with you guys. if you don't mind.
That's probably the better way to say it. You know, Luther was first, so we climbed on board to his Reformation.
Oh, Shane Rosenthal is producer of the national radio program The White Horse Inn, and he's a board member of Providence Christian Academy, a classical school here in St. Louis. Go to issuesetc.org tonight. Click on demand and look for a link to The White Horse Inn, issuesetc.org. Shane, thanks for being our guest.
Pleasure to be with you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, a good old-fashioned sermon review. This one comes from a former host of Issues Etc., Pastor Don Matzett, preaching in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, on the Reformation. Well, of course, a lot of churches were celebrating the Reformation. It's a big term, capital R. It includes an awful lot of people and, if we're honest, a lot of different theological perspectives. But what was at the heart of the Reformation? What was at the heart of this time in church history when the errors and abuses had so obscured the central message of the Christian church that what was needed was a house cleaning, not a reinvention, not a revolt and not a rebellion, but an attempt to clean house? And however it turned out historically, has the Reformation been successful? We're going to be listening to a sermon preached for Reformation Sunday by Pastor Don Matzett on the other side of this break, reviewing a sermon. You can join us for the next half hour of the program. Sermon reviews are always open for your questions, your comments, your ideas, and your thoughts. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 27th of October. 1-877-623-MYIE or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
6 days. The real issue is authority.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the authors of the very popular The New Answers book.
Over the years, I've collected numerous quotes from theologians, Christian college professors, Bible scholars concerning the days of creation, and I've found that the majority of them all say the same basic thing. I'll paraphrase what these quotes are collectively saying. The days of creation in Genesis chapter 1 are 6 literal approximately 24-hour days according to the language as written, but they can't be 6 literal days because science has proved the earth and universe are billions of years old. You see, such scholars admit that Genesis teaches that the days of creation were 6 ordinary days. But it's because of the secular teaching of millions and billions of years that they can't believe this. You know, ultimately, this means that God's word is fallible, and the words in Genesis concerning 6 creation days can't be trusted, and that man's dating methods are reliable and, in fact, infallible. You know, this compromise through the church has undermined biblical authority. It's made fallible man the authority instead of God's word.
Our magazine, called Answers, will greatly help you build your biblical worldview. We'll send you a sample issue for your donation of any size. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS and we'll send a sample to you. 888-89-ANSWERS. Or go to our website, answersoffer.org.